Russian Oisit has Shiyarach Shulchan B'chol Matzoi Shabbos V'yarchal Afilo Dabramut. Person should be Kaveya Asudas Malav Malka. Rush touched on this before. But the Rama says that part of the chedek of Kavod Shabbos is that you're mechaber Shabbos b'tzniyosoy, mechaber Shabbos b'tziyosoy. The Rama holds that's the chiyuv of zochir on Shabbos. It's kad shoy you're mechiyuv to say kiddush Shabbos at the dvarim at the beginning of Shabbos, kiddush Shabbos at the dvarim at the end of Shabbos. Means mit havdolos mikir. Rama holds it mikir then havdolos the raisa. The same way we're kaveya suda beforehand. So the suda went to, and at the end the chara needs a little bit of understanding. So there's this family. They have a great aunt, and she's a very proper lady, and she comes for a visit. So of course everybody's on their best behavior when the great aunt is there, and all the kids are chopping at the bit to finally when is this woman going to leave? And Baruch Hashem, she leaves one day, and afterwards she leaves. They make a big party, wild party. Baruch Hashem, the Malka left, the queen left. Now we can act normal. Right, so Malava Malka, you make a party because the Malka left. You're excited. The whole Shabbos, you have to ask nice and proper, etc. You're supposed to dress in these nice suits, etc. But the Shabbos, you can hang out. Some people call it Girish Malka. There's something called Malava Malka. You're Megarish to Malka. You throw her out. Get out of here, ready, please. Let's go have a good time. That's Motzei Shabbos for some people. Because I all understood Motzei Shabbos differently. So what do you mean you're Malava Malka? You already said you said Havdalah. You already said Ma'ariv. The Malka's gone. What do you mean? You can't accompany her anymore if she's gone. When we refer to the Suda's Malava the Malka. You're Malava the Malka. So apparently Chazal are seeing that there's some element of Shabbos which remains even after we say Marv and even after we say Abdullah. There's some element of Shabbos which remains which we are saying goodbye to the Malka. So it's the Suda before she leaves. You're nice and you still act nice. Right? You're not the one the party you make after she finally leaves. So Chazal did not see that it's a celebration of the Shabbos leaving, but it's the way to say goodbye to Shabbos. So Chazal see Motzei Shabbos as a hemshech of Kedusha Shabbos, that there's still an element of Kedusha Shabbos which is there, which we are still connecting with. And that being so, there's a concept of making a Suda Shabbos. It's a Havana in Motzei Shabbos specifically. It's Havana in Bechlal HaKadosh. I think because I'll understand the concept of a person has a mitzvah. There's something we have at the end of the Yom Tov, you have a Nilas HaChag. So, Rav Huttner Zatzal used to say, he says, the Velt says, a Yom Tov is leaving, he says, a Yom Tov came. A person, by the end of a Yom Tov, if he did Yom Tov properly, he has another Yom Tov under his belt. I don't mean literally just under his belt, I mean the weight part, right? But he absorbed another Yom Tov into his being. The Kedusha of the Yom Tov, the school of Hayyim that the Yom Tov has, a Sukkis, a Pesach, a Shavuos, he should be a different person through a Yom Tov. A Yom Tov is a person, is an opportunity for a human being to be Misavaye, to meet with his Creator. It's a Mikdash in Zman. So just like a person would go to the Mikdash, the physical Mikdash, he would be a changed person. Person walk in the vision, the pasuk says throughout the world, says you go up to the mikdash, the man tilma the years of Hashem alakach. You learn years of Shemaim. You walk into the mikdash, and it was a tremendous feeling of the presence of the Shechina there, that a person was impacted by it. So if we would do Yom Tov properly, we would be impacted by a Yom Tov. And we would at the end of Yom Tov, we would sit there and sort of contemplate what we gained out of this Yom Tov besides the weight. What we gained out of the Yom Tov is spiritually, emotionally. How we're a different person, we're a better person, but the fact that we went through a Yom Tov. That's what a Ne'ila is. A Ne'ila Sechag is. So, Ungekum and a Yom Tov. So, every Shabbos, Betim, Bachar, Yeshiva Bachar, even a Talmud Chacham, Zohar Kaddish says that he's with Bechina Shabbos, a Talmud Chacham, Bechina Shabbos. So the Velt has, their cynical line about that. He says, yeah, because it hasn't worked all week. So the whole week by him is Shabbos. Right? That's their cynical line. But I have to tell you, there's a certain element of, it's not true, But there's an element of where it is an issue. A person who goes out into the secular workplace and it grates in his nerves, it's challenging, it's frustrating, it's overwhelming, etc. The drive for the money, the push, the comes to Shabbos, and Shabbos is a refuge. It's a place of refuge away from that crazy world out there. That it's a chance to recharge a person's batteries. That to refocus on what's important, what's not important. The whole week a person lives in a society which falls is mishtachavet to money. It lives in a society which is mishtachavet to certain values, which and it grates on the person, and it overwhelms the person, and it drags a person along. He comes to Shabbos and he says, you know, Shabbos. The mind is able to recreate itself. A Talmud Chacham, a person in yeshiva, doesn't have that hargosha because Baruch Hashem, the whole week he's able to immerse himself in such a world. But yeshiva bachur the same way for the most part. He doesn't understand the chashivas of what a Shabbos is. A person when he leaves starts leaving the kursley beis medrash. He's going to learn how to. Shabbos is very valuable, but the truth is, though, we're creatures of habits, and whatever habits we create when we're younger, that's the habits which are going to stay with us when we get older, unless you make a very strong effort to change them. And a person who's kaveya now to understand to celebrate Shabbos properly, use Shabbos properly, and take out of Shabbos what Shabbos has to offer, will be able to do it later when he really needs it. But the guy in yeshiva doesn't learn how to deal with Shabbos properly, so he's not going to get what he needs out of Shabbos when he leaves the Beis Medrash. The Rosh's point is the one place is like so if a person really experienced Shabbos the way he's supposed to, you know, it was a recharging of the whole week. I'm not focused in on what life is about. Shabbos, I stop and say, you know what. The business deal will wait. The stocks will wait. You know, I can't deal in the American market, but there's the Japanese market, which is still open, you know. But it's Shabbos. It's Yom Tov. I have one of my relatives, they have a business. It says, they have a business out of their house. So the office is there. You can hear the phones ringing. So it took her a few years to get used to the idea, Yom Tov, you sit there. And you know that there's going to be 90 or 100 orders which are going to come in over Yom Tov. You're not going to answer the phone. You can get tense about that. So it took a few years to get used to the fact that Yom Tov is Yom Tov, and it's not negated to me. It's totally irrelevant. But can you imagine how it frees a person? There's this shackle around the person, you know, I'm bound to this business, I'm bound to the money, I'm bound to the society, I'm bound to the belief in society that money is so important. It overwhelms you. You get immersed in it. Advancement in your. I once read an article from Professor Aaron Tversky. He's one of the Tversky brothers. So he's a law professor. He's a big lawyer, absolutely brilliant lawyer. He's a law professor, and he's writing an article. He's like soul searching. He's talking about in the secular world, you know, especially in the world of professorships, etc. There's advancement. How are you considered chashav in that world? Because you're developing your knowledge. You're developing your, and you're writing papers, and you're getting tenure, and you're making presentations, and the world knows about your name. And there's a tremendous magnetism to it. That you live in that. Everybody's talking about. Everybody's running for. Everybody's challenging, and you're part of that society. And what's stopping you? The person says, no, that's not what my life is about. I don't define my life by that. The guy next to me, he defines his life by the fact that he made it. Success. What's success in America? He was a successful person. He had a good relationship with his kids. He had a good relationship with his wife. He takes care of his parents. He's a successful person. He's a successful human being. No. He has X amount of cars, a nice house. That's success in America. He's a successful human being. He fights with his wife. He doesn't know anything about his kids. He spits on his parents. He's a successful human being because he got a lot of cars. But that's success in America. When you say the word success, you mean financially. he's not a successful human being. You know, we would like to say he's a successful human being, the person whose kids want to be like him. That he's a nice person, that they like him. Do you like your father? No, I hate him. He's never there for me. But he's a successful father. So I want to be successful also. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like strange society. I once had this aura when, you know, guys go to college. So what does the issue a person have to be aware of when he goes to college? So there's certain issues which you don't need me to tell you. There's certain, obviously, challenges to Ben Torah on a college campus. Whether it's in a Avodah Zarah, or Gili Rayas, or Shrichas Damim. You know, those parts you don't need me to be masmid to you. But there's something else which you have to be aware of. Any professor, any teacher at a college level, not only teaches, but believes in what they're teaching is something that you must know. They believe it's something of value for itself. The history teacher believes that if you don't know history, you are a half of a human being. On history, the Biskin English can't match. And the English professor believes without knowing literature, you are nothing. And the economics professor believes you don't understand money. What are you? You're a garnish. That's what they believe in. And they sell it to you without you realizing it. Is that obvious? They don't necessarily say Brehejo. I once said this to the Shavuos and said, Baruch Yemet, he said, you know, Rabbi, he's taking economics. He said in the class, he started thinking about the question. He says, he realized that every guy in the class is saying, the professor is saying, life is about money, money, money. And everyone in the class is saying, yes, money, money, money. It hit him. Like, that's the reality. And if you don't make a conscious effort to say that I don't believe in that, then that's not, I'm not going to let that define me. You will believe that also. And there's plenty of fine Fruma Yidden who keep Shabbos and all the thing, that their values are defined by what they learn in college. And the partners in business. And the people that they interact with in business. That's how they define their life. And that's not how you should define yourself. So that person comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is really painful. He's a good yid. He davens Friday night, and he davens Shabbos morning, and goes through a shir, and he says the Devar Torah by Shabbos too, and he even sings some zmiras. It's a beautiful voice. He loves singing the zmiras. But does he walk away from a Shabbos inspired? Does he walk away from a Shabbos that he's recharged? He feels more connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't care how many zmiras he sang. If he didn't get more connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it didn't work. He felt very spiritual. Yes. Really? Okay, now, when you have an Isoyan on Monday morning, when you walk into your office and a woman says something to you, and you realize, Mitzatzias, you shouldn't be talking to her, do you walk away or not? I was very inspired, very connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I sang a lot of Zemiris. I said a Dvar Torah. It didn't recharge you. Did it? If it did, so why is it so challenging? I found it just as challenging as I did last week. The Malava Malka is a person who Taka was inspired by Shabbos. Shabbos really changed him. It impacted him. He says he feels mamash. He let go of the week. We forgot. You didn't forget anything. There's nothing left. The Mechilta says. There's nothing left. When Shabbos comes, you are finished. In your mind, you have let go of the week. Whatever's supposed to be done was done. What wasn't done was not supposed to be done, and it's irrelevant. I'm living in a different world. And that world, I stepped off of the planet for 26 hours. When I come back down, I miss it. You know, I still have the glow. And I want to just like one more time just to celebrate the fact that I had such a glow. I had that glow of Shabbos in my face, in my neshama. And that's the beloved Malka. It's almost like it would be like hard for a person on Shabbos to go back. I have a person I'm close with that told me a story. Actually, told me the story, but also he wrote up. It was mentioned in an article in the Jewish Observer. This writer's writing this article. He says, you know, after the Siyum HaShas, so the person goes to Siyum HaShas and the person talks to finish Shas. He said, so the person who wrote the article is a Rav, Rabbi Ginsburg in Queens. He's writing that he has a friend who's a lawyer. Right? This friend, like, finished Shas. He says, it told him, he says, the next day he couldn't go into work. He just could not go into work. He was so pumped up about the being in the world of Torah and being that Pasha, he couldn't, he just sat in the whole day and learned. He couldn't go to work. Says the next day, he couldn't go to work. He was so pumped up about being part of the learning Torah that he spent the whole day in Beis Medrash. But third or fourth day, he says, you know, he doesn't have a choice. He has to go to work. But that's what Shabbos should look like. I was like, you can't do it. I was like, I can't. Imagine a person walked into Beis Hamikdash and he walked out. Like, it's like hard to go back to the secular world. It's just hard. It's hard. You know, it's like, it's hard to do it. It's hard. You know, you were just sitting in the world of Shchina. It's hard afterwards to take off your suit, take off your tie, put on shorts, and have a basketball game. It's just hard. It's hard. I'm not saying you should, the guys need to exercise, and it's good, it's a good outlet, etc. And I'm not denigrating any of that. But it should be hard. Is that what I want? That's what I want to do with after I just spent a beautiful 24 hours together, with the Shechina, with Shabbos Malkusa, with the Kala. Chassan spends the whole Shabbos together with his Kala. So she says, you know, it's nice seeing you. I got to go play basketball. Get this tie off, shirt off. Let's go have a good game. It's something funny about that. If that's how he wants us, that's how he would react after spending a day with his Kala. Like, he needs to get out of that. You know, it was very hard to be with his collar. He needs to relax a little bit. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but I want you to understand what the issue is. Understand what that means, what's it saying about ourselves? What are our challenges? Where do we need to go? And again, if guy has, maybe it's the best time of the week, a guy needs some exercise. Bochum should exercise. But understand what the issue is. Understand how you want to define yourself. What it says about you. How hard it is to change from that suit into your gym clothes, you know, and what it says about your Shabbos. And again, Shabbos right now is not so imperative. I mean, it's always imperative. It's the Torah. But as you get older and as you move out, that Shabbos is going to be your lifeline. But the habits you're going to develop now are going to be defined what your Shabbos is going to look like. Then is it going to be a lifeline that it will give you what you need? You know, there's some balabatim Shabbos and they learn straight the whole after Shabbos. The whole week I can't learn. I'm challenging for opportunity to learn. There's some balabatim who sleep the whole Shabbos afternoon because the whole week I couldn't sleep, so it's a chance to sleep. There's one of the gdolim used to he wouldn't sleep on Shabbos. He says, imagine a king came to visit your house. There's a king's presence there in your house. It's just it's exciting. You're with the king. Right? Hey, king, it's very nice. I need to cover a little bit of sleep. I mean, I'm tired. I'll see you in a few hours. I mean, it's like, you know, whoever the person's hero would be, you know, some person says, here is the gadol, here is this. Right? Whoever it is, you have a chance to be with him. You spend time with him. He says he couldn't sleep on Shabbos. Even if he tried, he couldn't. He slept the whole Friday night learning. Because he's in the presence of the Shechina of Shabbos. So we're not there. We're not anywhere near there. And you know, Shabbos has a long week and he has a hard week, and Shabbos he needs to get his some rest. But again, but understand the sugya. Understand what when you come about the bus, then maybe that might be true, but maybe more than you need the time to sleep, maybe you need the time to learn. You need the time to think. Take a walk and think about, are you happy with where you are in life? Are you happy with what you're doing with your life? Are you happy with how you're acting to your family, to your parents, to your children, to your wife, to your community, to your friends? The whole week, you're too busy to think. Shabbos, you have time to think. Take a Shabbos walk. Go to a park, go to a forest and think a little bit about life. That's Shabbos. That's Shabbos Kodesh. And again, so Lama Malka is just the one prat of that whole Havana, the depth of the Havana, what Shabbos is supposed to be.